Morning to everyone. It's a pretty nice little cool. It's a beautiful spring morning. Desire your prayers. I've had congregation and I've had this message in my mind for several days. I've been pretty busy through the month of February and most of March, but I had last weekend off. And so I want to look into something that's affects every one of us. We all will have to do this if we're going to go to heaven and if we're going to be anything of anybody in our lifetimes. Learning, the definition of learning is to gain knowledge of, to acquire knowledge or ideas of something before unknown. We learn the use of letters, the meaning of words, the principles of science. We learn things by instruction, by study, by experience, observation. And it's much easier to learn what is right than to unlearn what is wrong. To acquire skill in anything, to gain by practice a faculty of performing, to learn to play on a flute or an organ, to teach, to communicate, the knowledge of something before unknown, to gain or receive knowledge, to receive instruction, to take pattern with, to receive information or intelligence. I've got some statements I felt like the Lord's given me. I want to read, work with that. My first scripture will be in Isaiah 2. Isaiah, the second chapter, we'll read the first three verses there. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it should come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people should go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now then, when do we start learning? How long do we learn? Well, we start as a baby, basically. We learn all of our life. And some people love school. They love learning, and some don't. I've heard people say, now, I didn't like school. I didn't like to learn, but after it got out, I wish I'd done it. Wish I'd paid more interest in it and so forth. We've even got some among us I've heard say that too. One of them's a preacher. He and I are close. About 4 3/4 years, the parents do a lot of our teaching. Then you and I start school. You begin to see what you like best and in time what you're gifted in the most. And as you get into high school and you start considering college and a degree, men mainly, then the areas where you are gifted are also begin to come into more central stage into what your degree should be. We need to love learning because many a person just barely got through school and later wished they had put their heart into it. Now, our personal learning is basically for this life. When people love something, they usually put their heart into it, and it's so much of an enjoyment. Now, spiritual learning is for both life here and for over in eternity. Teachers here can be very gifted, very good, some not so much, and a teacher can really make a class enjoyable. Some people can learn things real quick, and others not so fast. The Lord can teach anybody. Now, this is where I want to start getting a hold of it. Really hold out. The Lord can teach anybody as he's the best teacher in the world. He can help us on any line, whether it's spiritual, whether it's a natural line, a mental line, a physical line. He can work on anything. Teachers love students that love to learn, and God loves people that loves to learn too. So how are you and I doing this year? How are we doing as far as our learning this year? teachers could get tired if we didn't do what we were supposed to do. They could just give us some problems. And would it not hurt God if we're not as diligent as we should be? We can learn a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom by figuring out how to do different things. So what have you learned from the Bible and God this year? Have you made any goals in your spiritual learning for this year? If so, how are you doing this week, last month? Always remember, this is concerning our souls, which is the most valuable member of us and needs diligent care daily. All right, it says here that the word of Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, and the top of the mountain shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us. He will teach us of his ways. He'll teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord for Jerusalem. He will teach us. Today we have the greatest privilege of anybody of having the pure, unadulterated truth taught to us. It is something that people crave. I've been in meetings cross country and had people, especially like the tent meetings and stuff, and they'll come and they say, this is what I was looking for. I've just been searching and looking and so forth. This is what I wanted. I appreciate the truth and so forth. Well, the Lord gives the best right here out of Zion. He teaches us, he opens things up and works with us, and I appreciate everything that he does for us. Let's go to Daniel 1 and 16. 1 and 16 of Daniel. Talking here about the three Hebrew children. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat, the wine that they should drink, and give them pulse. Now, this was Daniel's request. Have you all, I'm sure you've read this chapter different times, and goes down there, and Daniel's making a request that they would get pulse. That he had a conviction, let me put it that way, that they shouldn't eat the king's meat or drink the king's drink, but they should have water, I believe it was, and eat the pulse. And as for the four children, God give them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them he was found none like Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, be found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even in the first year of King Cyrus. Now the Lord blessed these four children. The person Daniel had made, the Lord had actually given Daniel, I believe it says in here, favor with the man over them. And so he fed them what they asked. And the Lord began to work with that. Lord, help us today to take in what the Lord wants us to take in. To be able to take in the nourishing thing. Now, pulse don't sound like anything good. Give me a steak. But the bottom line is, in this, bless God, he wants you and I to take in the things that is by far the best for us. So the children took it in, and they consumed it and so forth. And the king, it got his attention. There's a lot of people out there that need our attention. There's a lot of people out there that need to look at us and need to observe us and think about us and say, well, just how much do they know? Where's their scriptures? How much do they know of the Bible and so forth? When you and I go about and we say we're Christian, we're living for God and so forth, that puts us into a different plane than just anybody else. And they want to know. They may ask questions. They may put us in a corner, so to speak. But the bottom line, if God has been teaching us and working with us, and he's the greatest teacher and the greatest God and the greatest one to help us to learn anything and everything. He can take anybody and teach them things. But it's up to us to want to learn it. Are we wanting to learn today? or we wanted to dig into things that the Lord would have us to dig into, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, 9th verse, Deuteronomy 31, 9. This is where it basically all begins, right here. 31 and 9, and Moses wrote this law and delivered it, and the priests, sons of Levi, and bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every seven years, and the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, bring them all in, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now then, he said here that gather together the people together, men, women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God. Today, fearing God is said over here in Proverbs 9 and 10, is a scripture that I've admired for years, appreciated, but just one scripture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Today, fear mingled with respect and esteem, veneration. In other words, reverence. Reverence, fear in this definition here is not something that you're just scared to death of, but it's a real high reverence in God. It's a reverence that we don't want to hurt him. We don't want to do something wrong. We want to live for him. We want to live for him all of our days. So reverence here is fear mingled with respect and esteem, veneration. The fear acceptable to God is a filial fear, an awful reverence of the divine nature proceeding from the just esteem of his perfections, which produces in us an inclination to his service and unwillingness to offend him. To regard with reverence, to regard with fear, mingle with respect and affection. We reverence superiors for any age, their authority and their virtue. We ought to reverence parents, upright judges and magistrates. We ought to reverence the supreme being, his word and his ordinances. So he's telling them here, we want you to learn God. We want you to learn God, and we want you to learn to fear God. So this is the beginning. This is where it all starts, is the fact that when we begin to look at, God begins to call. We begin to see him as God. We begin to have a real reference of him and begin to do the things. Even in sin, we can begin to move and begin to lay things down and so forth. And then as we do that, and God begins to call more and more, and then we get to the place where we say, I want all of you, God, and everything you got. I want you above every other thing. I want to have what you have. A very good minister friend of mine, he had a son, and he and I was talking one day, and he said, well, the one thing that has blessed this son is the fact that he said he feared God. Well, I've known this son for 50-something years, I guess, or just over 50 years, and he has a fear, he has a respect. And said, that's what's helped him to keep going straight on the way he ought to. Well, that's what helps you and I, is to have this high reverence for God. The reverence of looking at and considering and weighing the esteemed beauty of holiness and power that God has to help you and I as we go along life's way, to be able to say, Lord, I love you, I respect you, and I'm going to do anything you want me to do. And as we repent and as we confess and getting saved and pour our hearts out, we have that fear, that respect of a God that we met and understand. And that fear should go with us all the way to the end. And the Lord then, he takes that and he begins to teach us. He begins to enlighten us and work with us, that they may learn and fear the Lord, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So he's saying here, I want you to bring them and I want them to learn to fear me, to observe, to do all the words of this law. Not part of them, not some of them, but all of them. I want them to learn to observe and do all the law. All right, let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and 73 here. 119 and 73. Said, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. All right, the 34th verse of that chapter said, give me understanding that I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I want to do this, Lord, help me. Listen, saints, we can't understand God without his help. We can't understand the word without his help. He's got to extend the light down as he begins to call and work with you and I, and we begin to respond and look up, and he begins to enlighten and open up. He helps our understanding to be able to take in everything that he'd have for us down through the years. The word of God is not something that you can read one time and only get one thing out of it. The word of God is usually something that we read over and over and over. And the more we read, the more we can get. For the bottom line, God can enlighten it in so many ways and help us as we go along, as we get older and more established. We can learn more depths in the word of God. This is not Reader's Digest. It's not U.S. News and World Report. This is the Bible. This was written by the very hand of God, so to speak, with a power and authority that can help us to have and to do what God says it will do. So this morning, Lord, help us to have an understanding. Lord, give us the understanding here. The hands have made me. We're individually created, so to speak, by God. And they fashioned me. Now then, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. I want to learn thy commandments. I want to learn, Lord, all about your word. I want to know exactly what you want me to know and understand. And he starts us out on milk. And he feeds us what is wonderful. I want to use the word amazing. I don't know if that's quite right. But you can take a whole body of people, let's say a camp meeting, and a minister can be up there and be preaching, and this and get one thing, and that and get something else, and that and over there get something else. And God's able to take those scriptures and that message, and he's able to feed everybody in that room with it. That to me is awesome. You can't do that. You can read out a Reader's Digest that said, well, the car was going down the street. That's all you can get out of it. You can look at it 10 years, it'd be the same thing. You can look at it 20 years, it's still the same thing. The car was going down a street. But I've read some of these scriptures. Well, I've read the whole Bible, I don't know how many times. And I've read scriptures out of here probably hundreds and hundreds of times. And there's been times down through the year because of the hand of God, because he wanted me to understand a deeper depth for a while. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what I thought that meant? When you get on the other side. And then one day I was studying or thinking on this, and I read something, and it got me to thinking, and he opened it up. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That means here too. That's not just on the other side at the end of life, and we step out and we meet him face to face, but that is the pure in heart. Those that God has loved and redeemed and washed, filled with his spirit, those are the individuals now. Those are the individual that's going to see the depth and the understanding and the power and the glory of a God of heaven. He's going to understand the truth, the depths of truth that He wants them to understand. It's going to be something that is more beautiful day by day as we go along learning of the things of God. Learning of Him. He wants to teach you. How bad do we want to learn? He wants to teach you. All right, let's go to the New Testament for a little bit. Let's go to Matthew. How many can quote me 11 and 28? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke. Get connected in with Him. Get hooked up in with Him. Learn of me. Learn of the things about me. Learn what I want you. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now then, He is able to lead us, to guide us, and to teach us the depth of the Word of God because He lived everything connected with it from the very beginning. When He was born, as He grew, He met the philosophers or whatever there when He was a child. Mom and Daddy walked over and accidentally left Him. They got worried, come back and found Him. And He was talking and asking questions even at that age. And then as He come to His ministry, and He'd done the things they need to do, everything was handled with a total humility, a total meekness, and a total lowliness. And if for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in your soul, learn of me. Listen, folks, this is what is the greatest individual that we can have to learn from. I had a customer, and this particular customer that I dealt with all the time, it was a wife, of course, and she was my age. Her name was Rebecca. She was married to Mike. Mike was 11 years older than her. He was a lawyer. They had a 3-story home, swimming pool in the back. He made good money. And Rebecca would take and she would work with me. She would talk to me. She would, well, when I say work with me, I don't mean literally do the work. But she would want to ask questions. I found when people found out what I am, a lot of times they wanted to lay the burdens on me. Brother Bob, I don't know if you've had that or not. You probably have. But when they found out what I did and everything, and they would want to talk to me, they'd want to get counsel and so forth on different lines. And she learned of things about me and about the Bible and about the Lord. He said, take my yoke and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn of me. Lord, help us to learn of the great God of heaven. To learn of Him. To learn what He has for you and I. To get down to the depths of what He wants us to get into. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Find rest unto your souls. Oh, today, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, then when Jesus went and told them, said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And then in John 14 and 26, he says this. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the Comforter. Now then, the Lord wants us to learn from Him, the Father. It's basically 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. But He said, when the Comforter is come, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now then, the apostles didn't have Bibles. He said He'd bring to remembrance. In other words, all the things that He had taught them, worked with them, enlightened them on, and all the things that them being with Him and so forth. And there'd be time maybe that they couldn't just write off somebody, say something or something happened, and the Holy Ghost was going to bring what the Lord taught them, enlighten them on, bring it back to them, and they could give an answer. That's the same thing with us. The bottom line, Brother Austin Wilson put it this way one time. He said, what we need, said, you got a computer, it has a hard drive, said, you put things on that hard drive and you pull things off. I understand it right now. You pull things off that hard drive and pull it up and use it and so forth. eSword is the main thing on my computer at the house. I've got it on my phone too. But here's the thing. The Lord, as we have accumulated, well, that's not really the right word, as we have had things give to us, taught to us, enlightened to us down through the years, then the Lord can take. And you may not remember just every word or everything, but if God needs us to have that for somebody, He can bring it back to mind. He can give it to us fresh. He can enlighten us again that we can give it to somebody and give it to them, and that can be a blessing to them. And they can see and know and understand what they didn't know before. The Holy Ghost working. Learn of me, Lord. Learn of me. All right, let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, Mary and Martha. Luke 10, the 38th verse. Learning. Learning. There is times that you can teach your own self things. You can learn off your own things. They'd been houses that we would do what you call project work. Now, regular routine is something that you do in a house over and over and over, say every week. I don't know that we in business is that sometimes you clean them every day. But you go in, you know what you're doing, you know what you're dealing with. But when you go into a project house, you don't know exactly what you're going to deal with. You have no idea what they're going to say. Well, I want you to clean this oven. I want you to clean this over here. I want you to do this and this. And you look at that, and maybe it's not. And I'm cleaning ovens and stoves that's got stuff baked on it and so forth, say, of many, many years. And person hadn't cleaned it. And I'll tell them, listen, I can't clean in 30 minutes what you've allowed to get dirty in 5 years. I can't do that. And then when I get into it, I may have to work this way. They talk about doctors experimenting, so to speak. Well, I take an experiment in a sense, trying this cleaner, this way, that way, till I find what will work. I learn. I teach myself. And then I take that and I keep that in my mind. And then when you, as you get older, and you've been in a profession for so many years, and they know that you know things, that you've been through things and so forth, that's the type of people that people want. Because you've been through the hard places. You've been through the places and you've learned by yourself sometimes the very things that will help you in that job, in that profession, all the way down to the end of your life. Molly and I married. I was doing some cleaning of a used car dealership. And I used what I call a static duster. It's about that long. You can get a longer one. And anyway, it's made of fibers, and you take those fibers and you rub them on a wool sweater or something, and it will make it where the dust will stick to it. So I didn't know what Molly knew and didn't know about this. So I was showing her, and then I was going to show her how to use it. She just reached and grabbed it out of my hand. Said, I don't need you to show me anything. I've been cleaning since I was a child. Actually longer than this old boy had. So the bottom line was she felt like she knew what she was doing. I couldn't fault her because I couldn't find any dust. You know, she evidently was doing a pretty good job. But today the Lord can help you and I in the Word of God, in our battles or trials or tribulation. He can help us to understand and get to the things that He wants us to learn. Learn of me. Learn of God. How much have we read in the Bible this year so far? We've got almost 3 months now. How many scriptures have we memorized in this period of time? Has the Lord showed you any special thing? Have you gone to Him and said, Lord, I want to have something new. I want to learn something new out of the Bible. Lord, what do you want me to have? What do you want to impress upon me? Oh, that's for the preacher. No, it ain't neither. The Lord wants all of us to learn of Him. He wants all of us to get the greatest depth we can get in the Word of God. Because, folks, it could be that this Bible will be taken away from us someday. The only thing we'll have is what's written on the fleshly table of our heart. The Lord writing and illuminating, doing things, getting it down inside of us where we can go back and we can say, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Praise God. I'm going to stay with God in the Bible, even though I don't have the written word anymore. They can take it away from us. Learn of me. Learn of me. Now then, that woman, Rebecca, I was talking about a while ago, she had a daughter and a son. I believe it's right. I don't think it was Mike. Her husband had two, and she had two, and then they had two together. But anyway, the daughter, she wanted to learn to be an actress. There's a very high-profile school, if I remember right, in New York City. And this girl wanted to go to it. Now then, if you're looking to get into a profession, and a certain professor, one of the best that is in anywhere in the whole United States, would call you and say, listen, I want to help you to learn all I can teach you about this profession, what would you do? Would you get excited? Would you say, wow. Listen, folks, this is the best of the best. He can teach you anything about anything. I've had him light me on carpenter stuff. I don't know about gender stuff so much, but I've had him in carpentry. There was a time that when I first went to work for the Gillenbecks, and I wasn't a knowledgeable, deep carpenter, so to speak, but I knew some things. And I'd worked for them for several years. As I started, Dan and Philip told me, said, now listen, we've been out there. We've done it. If you got any questions, don't hesitate to call us. We will walk you through it. And I had to do that. But it got up, Brother Bob, about 20 and 15. And there was some new stuff that they had taken on, and Philip and Dan hadn't been out there. And I called them, and I was looking at this, and I couldn't figure it out. And they said, well, I'll tell you what to do. Call Billy Gilmore, my nephew. And he said, he's been there. He's done it. So I got Billy on the phone and explained everything. He said, I understand. I know where you're at. And he began to talk to me. And as he did, as I was maybe looking at the case line there and how to put that thing together and everything. And he said, I said, I got it. I got it. Just a little bit of help enlightened me and got me over to where I could just put it right together, take care of it, and walk away from it in a done job. The Lord, sometimes we wonder about this scripture and that scripture. Brother Austin Wilson told me one time over in Ephesians, there's some scripture in there. He said, I have looked at those and prayed over those and wanted those to know what they meant for years. And he said, one day the Lord come along. Now, why didn't he do it 15 years before? 20 years before, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, even with men among us that have so much intelligence and can get things out of the Word of God that some others might not be able to get it at that point, the Lord wants to help us to get a hold of these things. Oh, He wants us to say, I want to learn it, Lord. I want to learn it. Luke 10 and 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and come to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, art thou careful and troubled about many things? But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now then, evidently, Mary saw an absolute perfect time to pick his mind, if I may use that word. In other words, I've got a time here that he's mine. Ain't nobody in here but Martha. She's in there. I can ask any question. I can get anything from the very, very mind and heart of Jesus Christ himself. And she sat there. And she was like a sponge and she was soaking it in. And Jesus was giving it to her. And Martha, she's all excited about, oh, I need to fix this and I need to fix that. Listen, folks, the Lord and his apostles were not interested in food near as much as some people might think. They were interested in souls and salvation and the word and everything that they could learn and be taught by the very hands of Jesus Christ. So he said, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part. And it shall not be taken away from her. Oh, today, let us get at the feet of Jesus. Let's get down at the feet of Jesus and learn everything we can learn from him. All right, Psalms 119 and 71. 119 and 71. We'll be through here in a little bit. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Oh, thank the Lord. He said, it's good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, people look at suffering different ways. One scripture says, in part, it said, we suffer with him. We'll walk, we'll reign with him. Affliction is a great teacher for you and I. Some people say, well, Lord, I don't want to really suffer. 87, I had people calling me, why are you sick like you are at your age and possible we're going to lose you and so forth. And I didn't know the depths to tell them at that point. But Brother Clifford Wilson had married his second wife and she had already given her okay that she was going to come help in the West Virginia school over there at Green Bay. So he said, not a problem, I'll go with you. So here they come. I was sick. Brother Salmon's there, he was working with me. The congregation was working with me. Everything was going pretty good, except I was sick. Well, the Lord began to teach. Brother Clifford come in there one day, and him and Brother Salmon's praying over me, and he got through, or they got through, and he said, well, I'm going to tell you something, son. He said, I want you to think now. He said, this affliction is going to be like a film strip. And said, as you work with people from here on, and I had no idea at that point I would ever pastor. I wasn't interested in pastoring, and I never even thought about pastoring, so to speak. I was interested in evangelistic work. And he told me, he said, you're going to be counseling somebody, working with somebody, and they're going to need some help. And said, you're going to pull up a area here, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to remember what you went through in that affliction, and that's going to help you to help them. Oh, what valuable words those was I found. Those words have gone with me now from 87 to now. I can actually, in a lot of ways, all the different suffering that I went through, all the pain, all the anguish, the rolling on the floor, the throwing up, and the whole things that we went through. The bottom line is, I can help people because, and I can understand a lot of times, not 100%, but many times, I can understand their pain and their anguish because of what I went through. That affliction was a great blessing to me that I wouldn't take millions of dollars for. And all the others, I've had the afflictions are something that will teach us. And the Lord working through them will help us to know and understand depths that you about can't get any other way but through the affliction of God. The Lord has his hand on it. The Lord's allowing it. So Lord, help us to just get involved. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Learn the depths of the Word of God on divine healing and on various things that we can go through. One night I'd evidently pulled something in my left shoulder. Rebecca Ann was sick on her deathbed. Daughter was caring for her. And I was tossing, turning, and moaning, and groaning, and couldn't get no sleep. Rebecca was pushing Donna to go get me to pray for her. And Donna said, we're going to pray it through ourselves. Dad's sick himself. So they stayed there. They prayed it through. God began to bless her and take care of her. Eventually, I got up out of bed. I come out of my bedroom, and she's sitting right over there. I went this way to the laundry room area to get a heating pad for that shoulder. As I got the heating pad, I come back as I cruised through, as I call it, went by Rebecca to check on her. She looked at me and said, "The Lord's blessed me, and He's going to bless you too." I went in and got in my recliner and fell instantly asleep. Woke up 3 or 4 hours later, didn't even get the heating pad set, didn't get it turned on, didn't get anything done with it. I just went automatically. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, later, I think it's the same time, Donna wanted to be a DO, a doctor of osteopath. Doctor of osteopath also know chiropractic work. They can work with that. And I'm running in my mind, I thought, now, If Donna was a doctor of osteopath, would I let her work on my shoulder? I don't know what really is wrong with it. I figure I'd pull something up under, strained it or something. And it was pain. It was shooting pains up here and pains up here and pains in my back. And I thought, well, and the Lord spoke to me and He said, "Are you willing to suffer with me? Who's willing to suffer with the Savior?" That answered my question. Donna, the very next morning, she pinned me down on that and said, "Dad, if I was a doctor of osteopath and could help you with that shoulder, would you let me do it?" "Well, maybe." She said, "Then why won't you go to a chiropractor?" I said, "Because the Lord told me to suffer with the Savior." And I said, "I ain't going to do nothing but suffer with Him." And the Lord touched it and took care of it. These are things, folks, that we get from the hand of God. His affliction, His things that He teaches us and enlightens us. It said, He said here, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes," learn the depths of what it means. All right, let's finish up in Galatians. Galatians, good old Paul. Galatians, the first chapter, 1:1. 1:1 of Galatians here. "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who hath raised Him from the dead, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches in Galatia." All right, the 11th verse. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Then the 12th verse. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And it goes on down in here, and it talks about, if I'm understanding it right, he had about a 3-year period. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem." He was in a place, and if I'm understanding it right, he was in a place for about 3 years, just him and God. God taught him individually. He didn't go to the apostles. He didn't go to the disciples. He got it straight from God. Now that girl, that Rebecca's daughter, that wanted to go to that very special school of acting, though that was just a highlight to her. I'm going to tell you, this would be the greatest thing a man could have right here. You got God, and He's teaching you. Now then, you and I can have the same thing. Now, we may not shut ourselves off in Arabia or so forth, but the bottom line is we can have God and the Holy Ghost teach us and enlighten us and work with us and teach us the doctrines, teach us the things that He wants you and I to know. This starts when we say, "Lord, have mercy on me and save me." And He delivers us from sin, and He goes all the way to the end of life. You'll learn till you die. You'll learn from God. You'll learn from the people, relatives, friends, mama, daddy, grandparents, ministers. You'll learn. I like to just listen sometimes. My daughters, they like to give me, said, "Dad, you can talk, yeah. But I got women in congregation that can out-talk me. They can out-talk me. I just have to sit and listen to them." And but that's not, I'm not pastor anymore, but that's when I was pastoring. But the bottom line is, the one I really like to listen to is that one upstairs. He begins to enlighten and open up and reveal and do things that I just am overly blessed by the real hand of the Almighty God. Learning. How much are we learning now? Are you begging for something new? Are you reaching out for everything that the God would have for you? And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about totally everything scripture-wise, but everything that He would have you do in the work of God or for Him or for somebody or something like that. It's just reaching out. Lord, what do you want? I want what you want me to do. Appreciate your time, your attention. We desire your prayers.